Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence podcast and to one of the exclusive to subscribers every two Sundays episode. We have always been wondering how to work smarter, not harder, to be productive and rewarded, also to save time for our so-called best work-life balance. Living in the era of artificial intelligence, where mostly the businesses and organizations benefit from taking informed decisions based on machine learning. Let's see what happens to those hard-skilled scientists and engineers, including researchers from whom only some apply artificial intelligence tools in their work. Have they been working smarter, not harder, professionally? So, how can we work smarter but not harder in the era of artificial intelligence without investigating if and how it benefits the various sectors where it is applied, as in medicine? I read recently several studies that showed, for instance, academics do more for less by Naidu, Chetty and Duplessis in the job demands and job resources of academics in higher education published in the Frontiers in Psychology in June 2021. Or another study by the Institution of Mechanical Engineers in the UK, where engineers anonymously communicated their experience within the industry or in various sectors where they work. So in that particular survey that was conducted during the pandemic and was relevant to mental health and well-being of engineers, one of the respondents said, "We just put our heads down and carry on until we feel broken." Another respondent replied to the survey, "Constantly worrying what the next problem will be while trying to catch up on work. It's like waves crashing into beach, endless problems." And I'm not going to go either on the well-being aspects of work-life balance because I'm not an expert, or the artificial intelligence benefits in everyday working engineers' lives, but about how we can work smarter, not harder, within this framework of constantly competing with making the best decisions while having all these tools of artificial intelligence, which should have made our lives easier at this point. But by digging into it, we will see that it's more about how we can manage working within an organizational scheme, either that being in the industry or the government or working as freelancers or as consultants within the engineering, technology and scientific sectors. In the same study by the Institution of Mechanical Engineers in the UK, 2 years ago, that was back in 2020 when the pandemic just started, 53.7% of the respondents said that workplace stress had a negative effect on their mental health or well-being. 2 years later, which is now in 2022, an additional quarter of the respondents, reaching 79.9% of employed respondents, said workplace stress has had a negative effect on their mental health or well-being at least some of the time. So this would be either based on the effects of the work style during the pandemic that has added up and perpetuated in 2 years until now, or it means that organizational structures have not identified over the past 2 years mechanisms to ease the stress from their employees, or let's say even when it comes to consultants or freelancers, if they have found a way of working smarter, not harder, under those conditions that we experienced over the past 2 years. Another engineering-focused article with the title Engineering Jobs Are in Flux or Are They? Published online by the Consulting Specifying Engineer magazine, compared the predictions of the pre- and post-pandemic demand of engineers in the market. Characteristically, before the pandemic, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics estimated that the engineering job market would grow by 140,000 new engineering jobs between 2016 and 2026. The Bureau of Labor Statistics also saw recently that, and based on the potential effects of the pandemic on employment through to 2029, that a moderate reduction of 2% change in the pre-pandemic estimation of the 140,000 new engineering jobs in the decade between 2016 and 2026 will happen. According to the same online magazine, that is the Consulting and Specifying Engineer, and their 2021 salary survey, the top two engineering job-related challenges that participants were experiencing were not enough junior team members to prepare for the future, and that was identified by 46% of the participants in that survey. And the second most engineering job-related challenge was that there were not enough people working on a project, as identified by 39% of the participants. Of course, going back to the main topic, which is working smarter, not harder, in the era of artificial intelligence might not be evident yet in all STEM sectors, whether in academia, research, industry, government, non-governmental organizations, or if we are self-employed as freelancers or consultants. Even though we all know that with the extensive application of artificial intelligence beyond informed decision making in all sectors of the economy, the academic studies curriculum, the job market, and professions will inevitably leave us as children of the last evolved industrial revolution. So while we transition to an artificial intelligence-based economy and we will see the professions and job market landscape changing, we will still have to work smarter than harder. And this is something we do not expect to be provided to us by the businesses or in different sectors we work, even as self-employed. Job demands can fall into three categories: quantitative, qualitative, and organizational. The qualitative job demands also involve competing time demands. The quantitative job demands include the key to all work-home balance, organizational politics, not policies, and lack of mental health support. Whether we admit it to ourselves or not, how well organizational mental health support works when it is in place is something that we have all questioned and wondered and might have experienced it firsthand. And the third job demand, which is the organizational, is related to using technology-mediated learning, and if there is a lack of structural resources, our job resources can be further organized into two categories: those of the organization, including social support, and the personal resources that we might have within an organizational structure, which are autonomy, meaningful work, and personal support. And of course, these categorizations of job demands are not my deductions, but based on the same study I referred to before, that by Naidu, Chetty, and Duplessis in the Job Demands and Job Resources of Academics in Higher Education, published in the Frontiers in Psychology in June 2021. But we can agree that such job demands and the way they are categorized fit into many business sectors, not just the academia. What we can also agree on is that long hours do not mean necessarily productive hours, or that we spend long hours because of the organizational demands which add up to the hours that we should really focus on and are the get the job done related. Organizational demands omit the long meeting hours where we simply have to nod or ask to speak once or at best twice. So I have been always wondering, and you might have been wondering too, are all organizational demands necessary to get the job done? For instance, meetings in most cases are about decisions that have already been taken. Were these decisions made based on artificial intelligence? Who knows? So could we avoid such organizational job demands? Again, with the example of meetings, we can discuss beforehand with the organizer to see what this is all about. Find out who the key stakeholders of the meeting are and what our contribution is. Then to ask our director to not attend and provide him or her our input. So this sounds like setting boundaries, right? Like in any healthy relationship. Setting boundaries brings a lot of guilt, but these boundaries are necessary to establish our workplace and time. Asking, for instance, our co-workers to not demand our attention related to work after a certain time in the evening, turning off email notifications outside of working hours. For our work to be of high quality, thoroughness and persistence are important. All these are the basis for establishing a routine where we have more control of our time. We can explain that to our director or collaborators if we are self-employed or freelancers. And the magic of exercising the right to say no, which is something I explore with women in STEM research group at the Leaning Circles. In addition, you can focus on your tasks. It is a must also to establish a routine and prioritize our tasks, being able to then gain more control over our time. Learning to say no is also critical, which can also create guilt. But saying no is directly linked to our efficiency and productivity. And our efficiency and productivity are not linked to our self-esteem, sense of respect, also to boost and evolve our career and develop professionally in the direction we desire while we fulfill our duties within healthy boundaries that better serve the quality, the life quality we want, or at least want to achieve. Prioritizing should not only help our day-to-day goals, but also our long-term strategy, which of course we need to review and adjust from time to time based on what we have in hand at that particular time we decide to review. This long-termism aspect can answer to why we spend extra time on some tasks or to learn new skills, even within a project we might have already undertaken and we identify as necessary for our development, which was not initially part of our duties. Our strategical revision might require some weekly time management reflection, for example. Having mentors also can help us in achieving our short and long-term goals, not only because we might find in them the professional nurture we might have missed in our workplace. So, not overcommitting by learning to say no helps us to pay attention to important work tasks, and we avoid energy-draining activities that do not enhance our life or career. Managing our time effectively by setting a schedule and concentrate on what is critical. Critical to whom? Critical to our progression and that of the delivering tasks. Attending meetings are not essential to delivering tasks. In that way, we maximize our deep work. Finding our individual strategies, simply because as individuals, we are different. We have different mechanisms under which we best work and work more effectively. As individuals, we might have different styles of time management. Some of us might work better under a very strict, very well-defined schedule that is well spread throughout the day or within a set time framework of a month or of a year. Others might be more productive when they feel more creative, when they are more flexible, and they have a lesser degree of organized schedule, and that will define their own individual strategy. So sometimes improvisation and flexible schedules might work better for some individuals. Collaborating and support systems are also fundamental to our success. And creating more than one support systems will enhance our success opportunities and our personal quality time. How? Getting help can take some of the load off our shoulders. Of course, collaboration and support systems require building trust within teams or creating our own support team, which is a completely different area of discussion. Building support systems and trustworthy collaborations might seem to require some commitment at the beginning, but once done rightly, the payoff and returns are significant to working smarter, not harder. And one of the most important aspects, not only for working smarter and not harder, is to boost our decision-making, the way we make decisions. We have to make decisions daily, and this might result in our tiredness, which also leads to some poor decision-making. So the first thing we can do is to simplify our choices or make our most important decisions at the start of the day. Decision making is an important topic in professional development, but also in our daily life. Working smarter, not harder, is a continuous process as everything around and within us changes constantly. Working long hours is not linked to working better. So we have to examine and re-examine what is important to us consistently until it becomes habitual. Making any necessary changes and adjustments to keep us on track, also to review, to achieve our goals or those goals we redefined. Because we should not forget that everything around and within us changes relentlessly. Artificial intelligence decision making might be considered the future of business intelligence, while we currently study the human-artificial intelligence symbiosis in organizational decision-making. Yet, our competitive advantage, for now, as humans, is to better perform decision-making under uncertainty and vagueness, and beyond that, to make decisions for ourselves. One might wonder if there is anything like making the best decisions, which is something we will see in 2 weeks' time in a special for subscribers only episode on decision making. Thank you very much for staying with me until the end and supporting the efforts to better inform on matters that matter through the eyes of global Greeks in their expert fields, but also through more personal self-reflection episodes. For exclusive content on science, engineering, and technology professional and topical matters, subscribe to the Global Greek Influence podcast with new guests, free episodes every 2 Sundays, and subscribers-only episodes in between. Until next Sunday.